In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we've entered this beautiful time, the Nativity Fast. Boys. In the ancient church, as we continue, as the body of Christ and Orthodoxy, we're given these every Wednesday and Friday as fasting days to help heal us, but we're given four major fasting times. The Lord knowing our weakness, and that we're in love with worldly things, and we're in love with our flesh, and these things that will kill us and that are passing away. So we're given these special times to reorder our souls, to remind ourselves what is really important. And the Lord knows we're weak, and we need constant reminders. That's why you need to do daily prayers. That's why your home needs to have icons, and you need to have candles. You need to gather there morning and evening, either alone or with your family, and pray to God. Not because we're strong and good Christians, because we're weak. And because without the reminders of reading the gospel every day, you know, on your bedside table, reading a spiritual book, keeping the fast and limiting our stomach, just these daily things we do are medicine for us. But in our weakness, we need boot camp sometimes, some spiritual boot camp, knowing our weakness, and the church gives it to us. Because Christ wants us to know our purpose. When we know our purpose, brothers and sisters, to become one with God, one with Christ, and with each other, and to glorify God in this short life given to us, then we can do anything. We can endure hardship, we can love, we can sacrifice, we can pray, we can fast. But when we forget our purpose, when we get lost and think, oh, my purpose is to eat. You know, I said to the catechism class yesterday, we become worse than like a cat or a dog. You know, it's like eat, sleep, poop, repeat. Really? Lower than we're called to be, right, to be in God's image. We are in God's image to be saints like this, and we are living like lowly animals, right? So often, and our lives are driven by these animalistic desires, like food is the most important thing, you know, eating, watching my show, doing whatever. These things become the content of our life. They become the skeleton, if you will. So we get given this worldly framework, and we're trying to fit God into it. And it all crumbles all the time. So we're given this beautiful fasting time right now, this ancient nativity fast, this 40-day fast, preparing ourselves for the Savior's birth to wipe it clean, wipe the slate clean, break down this false idol, this false building, this Tower of Babel we've been building, rip it down to the nubs, down to the foundation, which is Christ and His church, and to rebuild. There's my morning prayers. There's my evening prayers. There's, no matter what, I don't miss liturgy on Sunday. I'm going to Vespers every Saturday. I'm going to confession. I'm going to keep the fast even though it's hard. I'm going to have icons and pray. Right? I'm going to read spiritual books. I'm not going to go there. This builds a foundation, brothers and sisters, and a skeleton. And then work and school and the craziness of life fits into that. And if that stuff goes bad, and it often does, and stressful, it doesn't shake the foundation because your foundation is in Christ. So we're given this holy time, and it's going quickly. I mean, the Lord's Nativity, we've been fasting for a couple weeks. We started November 15th, right? What's today? December 4th? I mean, wow. Time is flying. I mean, third, it's flying. 3 weeks until the Lord's Nativity. But let's not waste time. So everything the church gives us, these readings today, everything we do, light a candle, our prayers, has one purpose. To get sin out of us. And to have the living Christ and the grace of God to infuse into us. All our prayers, everything. Often we don't realize the power of the sign of the cross. We do it casually. Or the power of lighting a candle. The power of a deep bow. It all can bring us humility. When we're humble, God floods us with His grace. So we have two somewhat short readings today. Beautiful. Beautiful readings. And they're like a textbook. People in the world are like, how do I live my life? What do I do? Why doesn't God speak to me? For us Orthodox Christians, the church is our path. Imagine the world wandering around looking for the fountain of youth, looking for life, and we know the exact path. It's clear. It's open. We have cheerleaders on the side saying, go, go, we'll help you, the saints. And even we don't want to take the path sometimes. Today, St. Paul's reading, you don't have to be a theologian to understand it. Just as I'm speaking to you now, St. Paul was speaking to the early Christians who were in the same struggle, the same boat. And he gave them these words, very clear, even a child understands. Brethren, walk as children of light. Right? Walk as children of light. And the fruit of light is all that is good and right and true. So he's asking every Christian, as I am today, is look at yourself. What is light in your life? And what is darkness? And what are we following? And he says, be a good student. He says, and try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. All too often, we're trying just to please ourselves. Please our gullet, my mom would say. Please our eyes. Please our backsides. Right? Please our feet. Put it up. Sit on the couch. Right? But how often do we ask, how do I please the Lord? What does God want? And you know the problem is? When what God wants might be different than what you want, we tend to always pick our selfish me, me, me. Wouldn't it be nice if God's will always lined up with ours? But the question is, do we love Him enough? Do we desire healing enough to say, when those things contradict, I'm going to put aside my ego and my will, and I'm going to do His will. Because that's how true peace comes and light comes into us. Take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but expose them. How many of us have touched or are involved in unfruitful works of darkness? You might say, oh, not me, all of us. How many of us look at things we shouldn't look at? How many of us say evil and mean and judgmental things we shouldn't? Think evil thoughts? We are engaging ourselves in the world of darkness when we do this. He says, don't do that. In fact, expose it in yourself. Confess it. Get it out. So light can be in you. He says, it's a shame even to speak of the things they do in secret. Early Christians had amazing moral lives, brothers and sisters. The things that passed as a normal, quote-unquote, normal Christian life would have been laughable to the early Christians, but not for Orthodox Christians. We hold the standard high. People often say, Orthodoxy is so hard, it's impossible. It's just, the standard's so high, it's impossible. You know, all this fasting, like, oh, come on, make it easier. We'll never do that. So we should lower the standards to this broken, disgusting, lustful world? God forbid. It seems, it does seem impossible. Walking on water for Peter was also impossible. But as long as he kept his eyes on Christ, this impetuous, sinful fisherman could do miracles. It's the same for us. We're weak. We're no one special. But with the grace of God, with baptism, it's like you can be a serious pastor. You can shut your mouth. You don't have to be involved in masturbation and pornography and adultery. It needn't touch you. That's a sign that you're the salt of the earth and that miracles still happen. A holy life of light, brothers and sisters, is a miracle in our dark times. If you can become a child of light, you'll be a great light to those who are seeking Christ. One of the greatest lines of St. Paul, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Of course, he's speaking to all the dead who were dead in God before the coming of Christ, everyone going to Hades. With the coming of Christ, death is shattered. But he's talking to every human heart. Awake, O sleeper, our sinful souls that are dead and we're numb. And the church and Christ and St. Paul is saying, awake up! And Christ will give you light. But you have to hate the darkness. And this fast is given to us to say, what is the darkness in your heart? What darkness is lingering there? What's the darkness that you're in love with? Because that keeps you from being full of light. Look at the halos in the saints. Right? It was the uncreated light of Christ that's represented there. You are the light of the world, the Lord said. He said, I am the light of the world. And then Christ said, you are the light of the world. And it spreads. Before we can we all want that light, which is joy and peace, and there's no sin in us, but we have to devoid ourselves. First, acknowledge the darkness, and second, ask Christ to tear it out of us so we can have joy. He says, look carefully how you walk. And I would say the same, please, look how you walk. Look how you act every day. He says, make the most of the time because the days are evil. Look at this world, wars and rumors of wars and addictions. And oh my, look at the news is a nightmare. Time is short. Who knows when we'll die, right? We had a dear woman in our community pass away suddenly last week. You might not have known her very well, the handmaiden of God, Anna. She was young, beautiful. Boom. The Lord called her to life, to true life. It can happen to any of us. The days are short. Let's walk in the light, he says. Don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. And that's what he ends with. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart. What does that mean? Does it mean like don't drink wine, just sit around like singing scripture and dancing around, woo, like Protestant. No, that's not what it means. That's out of context. What it means is live the life of the church. What do you mean? Nothing wrong with a glass of wine or a meal together with our brothers and sisters in Christ, but these things become the content of our life and our hearts. In the darkness of our hearts, we just ignore it. We push it down. And we focus on worldly things to numb us and give us some kind of joy when our hearts are aching and we know we're far from God. That's a terrible way to live. And the Lord wants to break your heart, expose the darkness so He can fill it with Himself. And He says, be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's exactly what this service is today, the liturgy. It's exactly what your prayers are when you're chanting the hymns at home to the Mother of God. You're chanting the ancient sacred hymns of the church, the troparions, right? Teaching your children these hymns, reading the scriptures as a family. You're doing what St. Paul said. People always say, I'm depressed, Father. I don't know what's going on. This church isn't working. Let me tell you, it's not the church. People often say, it's not working. I'll say, okay, let me ask you a question. Do you do your morning and evening prayers without fail? Well, not really, not always. Do you fast? Not really. I mean, do you read spiritual books? Sometimes, but not really. Do you ever watch too much TV? Yeah. Do you ever spend too much time on Facebook? Yeah. Do you judge a lot of people? Yeah. Do you eat and drink too much? Yeah. You're taking none of the medicine, and you're blaming the medicine? I challenge you. It's not God who is far from us, but we who have gone far from Him, brothers and sisters. The spiritual life seems so hard. The devil wants to make the Christian life look impossible. And that's a lie. What's impossible is living a worldly life and thinking you can be happy. What's impossible is thinking that food and drink and sex and all this nightmare will make you truly happy. It is a living hell. What's also hell, which is also miserable, is thinking you can live a really worldly life and then put a Christian cherry on top too. That's like being torn into shreds and pieces. A double-minded man. But you know what true freedom is? Do you know what true joy is? Living the life in God. Living a life in Christ. The outside, it looks like, oh, going to church all the time, not eating what I want to eat, like, you know, just eating salads and stuff, like eating less, giving more to the poor, giving more to the church, taking time away from my show to stand with my feet hurt and read prayers, right? And do the dishes when I don't want to, and to learn how to love. That's fun. It's much more than fun, brothers and sisters. To have a clean conscience, to have the darkness out of you. I don't want to go to confession and tell some priest. I don't need to do that, God. Let me tell you the joy. That's a lie from the devil. If you all come to confession, I beg every single one of you Orthodox Christians to come for a deep confession during this fast, preparing for our Savior's birth. And the darkness will just seep out of you and the light of Christ will come into you. You'll wonder, why didn't I go earlier? You'll love to pray. You'll love to fast. Before I became serious in the spiritual life, I kind of scratched my head like this. When I first became Orthodox, why are you going to church on Saturday night too? And on Wednesday? These are weirdos. These are people who are weird. But you know what? That's because I was in love with the world. But I was miserable. And then when I started, just like any of us, I was something, started to go to confession. And started to feel how great I felt getting my sins out, how the priest loved me. And I started, I'm going to fast. I never ate a vegetable until I started fasting, ever. Now I love vegetables. And I look forward to fasting because it's, Father Justin, stop being such a glutton. You're given this time to become more peaceful and more, thank God, thank you for this fast, Lord. I was hardly ever like that. The question is, when are you going to begin to get serious? The question is, when am I going to begin to get serious? And that's why we're given this beautiful time. Brothers and sisters, in 3 weeks, on the 25th of December, we celebrate the greatest event in human history. The living God comes to restore unity to us. God, who made heaven and earth and the Grand Canyon, the mountains, He becomes the most vulnerable of creatures, an innocent child who hungers and thirsts and weeps. Why? For one reason, to give us eternal life. To deliver us from this darkness that you feel and I feel. You know what I'm talking about. To deliver us from that guilt and that anxiety and worry, and to give us eternal life that we taste even in this life. Brothers and sisters, we are such rich people, given the richest gifts of God. The question is, how will you receive this gift? The services for Nativity speak often in this time about, what will I offer you, O Lord? The earth offers a cave, right? The shepherds, a manger. The animals offer their warm breath to keep you warm. The heavens offer you a star. What will I offer you? And what does the Lord want? He wants our hearts. He wants us to be mangers. As Father Paul said last night, God came to a stinky, dung-filled manger to be born, to a place of like a pigsty. But he wasn't afraid to do that, and he's not afraid to come into this leprous and sinful and dirty heart. So let's cleanse it as much as we can. Let's get rid of the darkness, and it looks different for all of us. Get rid of that pornography. Get rid of that nonsense. Get rid of that laziness. Say, I'm going to always be in church. I'm going to love it. I am going to learn this fasting thing. I never fasted before, but what do? One of the priests or deacons will help you. Right? Read about it. I'm going to put an icon up. I'm going to get a prayer book from the bookstore, and I'm going to read morning and evening prayers every night. I'm going to stop sinning like that. I'm going to read the Bible every day with my family and read spiritual books. And brothers and sisters, slowly, but ever so surely, the darkness in our hearts will leave us. And the light of Christ, and he will say, awake, O sleeper, and Christ will give you life. Brothers and sisters, if you think life is good in the world, it's painful too. But when you taste eternal life, when you taste the life in God, you will taste a rich and a sweetness you can never have thought possible. May our Lord help us in this holy time to seek the heavenly riches and to prepare to ask what gift will we offer the Savior in his nativity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.